Jim, what was the defining point, the defining issue that's prompted Sheffield United to make this decision?
Andy, not one issue, but an accumulation of issues over the week. And it included a multiplicity of factors. We had, the direct attacks on the club, on its sponsors, of the partners of the sponsors. We had attacks on our community foundation, a charitable foundation. Everyone is very aware of the some of the patrons of our charitable foundation, had their comments to say. I think I've had personally thousands of communications from fans expressing their view one way or the other. And there was also an observations made about the extent to which the issue itself was tearing at the fabric of our community. And, we're a community club, a family club, and we were essentially, we had our people at each other's throats, and the promise was not that things were going to be getting better. So we listened to all of the inputs, aware that a large number of our fans would be against our acting to end the division, the distraction, and the damage, or to limit it. We made the decision that we could not continue on this route and be safe as a football club.
Was it always Sheffield United's decision, had this not have blown up, as it were, as a big issue, to sign Ched Evans?
I think it's always been our decision about what we do. But we do have to take note, right? I mean, we're coming up in questions to the Prime Minister at the G20. How the hell did that happen, right? I mean, so it did go beyond any bounds that we might have imagined. And I'm newer to this than perhaps I should be, but I've been advised by so many people that this particular matter has gone beyond anything in recent memory. It's certainly a test case for matters of this kind. It's the first time that this particular issue was presented, and we didn't expect that the response would be as it was. I would add on the question of was it our decision, we articulated on the 11th of November a set of principles. Most important amongst them is the simple notion that footballers must be treated like everyone else before the law. It's not fair to treat a footballer differently when you're investigating him. It's not fair to treat a footballer differently when footballers being prosecuted or sentenced or punished. Or being held in custody, all of these things, or when released, right? That a footballer should have a right of rehabilitation like everyone else does. Obviously, that principle that footballers should be equals before the law with everyone else has found resistance. Some of that resistance is in the nature of a mob resistance, willing to impose a penalty which the law does not contemplate, that someone would be placed under a life sentence of not being able to ever return to their chosen trade. Footballers are not school teachers, they're not doctors, they're not...
Aren't they role models, though?
They are role models, but it's not part of the deal that they're going to be treated differently from other citizens. And look, let me say aloud, I think the nature of the response, Andy, tells us that there's a broader question, much broader than one that can be answered solely by our football club. We have said aloud, and we stand by this notion, that footballers should be treated equally before the law. Those who would impose this penalty on Ched, preventing him from even training, he wasn't going to be our employee, he was going to train.
A lot of people argue, though, Jim, that was just a precursor to the main event. It was almost dropping out a little bomb before the main one, if you like, of him signing.
I think what was a precursor was certainly the articulation of the principles on which we decided to let him train. We actually do believe that he has a right of rehabilitation, and we're not ashamed of that view in the slightest. And the decision that we made was the decision, and the only decision that we made at the time we announced it. It wasn't a cynical attempt to get the nose of the camel in the tent. It was a straightforward decision to respond favorably to a request put to us by the PFA.
It's ultimately caused a huge debate and a massive furore. From Sheffield United's point of view, couldn't you have just said no?
Oh, we could have said no 15 months ago, or 2.5 years ago, or 3 years ago, or what have you.
And that's part of it, isn't it? Because Sheffield United have got themselves in, well, become embroiled in this situation. It's not of their making, as it were. The club could have walked away and said, we move on. We move on 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, but that would be the coward's way out. Because there actually is a principle in this whole matter that's worth something. And that principle is, and it's foundational to the operation of a football club, that footballers should be treated as equals before the law. And it was worth the effort to try and establish that principle against, we already had some headwinds when we made that decision, right? We didn't expect that those headwinds would turn into a hurricane, Category 5 with a tsunami attached.
I wonder, though, football, everybody talks about it. Rape is one of the most heinous crimes. Yes. Isn't it a little bit naive to think that there wouldn't be an intense reaction to whatever happened here?
I don't think anybody on our board is naive. We do believe in the principle that we articulated. We also believe that rape is a heinous crime. The way these things fit together is that there's been a trial. Ched was convicted, and he served his sentence. So at that stage, subject to the conditions of his parole license, he has a right to get about, making a livelihood. In fact, he has an obligation to do so. So, I think nobody in the boardroom is believes that it's not a difficult thing to have somebody with this background come into the club. It's possible that he could clear his name, but nobody in the boardroom thought that we should make the decision on the basis that he might someday clear his name. We accepted going into it that he is convicted. Right, but we also acknowledge that he served a sentence. So we're there on that point. And look, it's very clear that amongst our fans there are those who disagree about whether Ched should have come back to the club, and there are a large number who wanted him back. I would say that just going back to the idea of the coward's way out, the coward's way out was to say no, and to do it a long time ago. And I think that the key is that we have made a principled stand. That principled stand has yielded a furor, as you called it, much more significant than we had anticipated. I don't know, call us naive, but it elicited a very difficult response, difficult to deal with on multiple levels. And damaging, I think, to the fabric of our community and ultimately to the long-term interests of the club. So in changing our course and not letting Ched train, we do not in any way step back from the principles related to the way footballers should be treated before the law.
There are a couple of points there, Jim, if I may. One Please. Of those fans who, very prominent MP Paul Blomfield of 51 years supporting of Sheffield United, he said that he believes this saga has dragged Sheffield United's name through the mud. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, nobody can gainsay that the club's name has been dragged through the mud. Sometimes I think that those who have called themselves fans of the club, but who have handled the matter the way they have actually exacerbated the dragging of the club's name through the mud. But I'm happy, Andy, very happy to accept my responsibility, for having been, prominent chief amongst those who ultimately agreed to the course of action that we made. We worked together over a period of time to shape a path that would honor the principles on which our partnership is based, and that would that we thought would lead us to a safe outcome. If the club's name has been dragged through the mud and I'm somehow to blame for that, I gladly accept the responsibility. But I think this is discussion that we've had as a community has been difficult. All who have contributed in the discussion, if the name of the club has been dragged through the mud, bear their share of the responsibility. And at the end, I would just say it's over, right? This episode is at an end. We have, we have, as a test case, call it, we've learned something about the way this particular issue is going to be handled. And we've made an assessment about what continuing role we're going to play, relative to this issue. I think now the issue goes over to, a different level, of discourse. Our part in it is finished. We're moving forward as a football club focused on gaining promotion this year.
Have Sheffield United lost in some respects a PR battle here? Because there are two sides to this and many layers within that. And on one side, you've got the fans that wanted Ched Evans back that are now saying that the board have been weak because a week ago you weren't bowing down to mob rule. And then you've got those who level criticisms at Sheffield United for even considering bringing Ched Evans back at all.
Sure. I mean, clearly opinions are divided, and we've learned the extent of that division in the course of this last week and a half or so, and indeed over the last couple of months. When I got back to my hotel room last night, I was greeted by hundreds of endearing communications from people who weren't very happy with me and with us as a board, and people who called us cowards told us that we had bottled it. Everyone is entitled to their view. But the last thing you'll find in the boardroom of Sheffield United is a coward, right? We have taken a principled stand. We didn't know what the outcome would be. We see that the outcome is going to be one that the club should not be caused to bear for any longer, and we've made a decision, and I'll venture to say that it's a courageous decision, to limit the damage. I will acknowledge right up front that our decision to not let Ched train is probably a decision that will make it harder for Mr. Evans, for Ched, to get on with his football career in the immediate future. The people who believe that Ched should be punished for the rest of his life might call that a victory. I don't think of it as a victory for them. I think of it as a defeat for the principle that that punishment under the English justice system should be limited to those punishments which have been set forth in law or authorized by law and dished out by a court of competent jurisdiction.
You mentioned at the top of the interview about the patrons and the prominent fans, as it were, that have had their say, and to quote you, exacerbate the situation. Are they welcome back here?
None of them have asked to come back. So I think the question calls for a kind of speculation. I think that there'd be nothing that Jim Phipps could do to probably heal the wounds that they've created themselves between themselves and the fans of this club. I don't think I would want to respond to the speculative question of what if they asked to come back. I will say that amongst us, as a Blades family, this is not a moment to focus on the divisions that have existed between us, but it is in general... I think it's the moment in time when we say, like we always do at the end of our arguments within the Blades family, we're all Blades, aren't we?
Wouldn't that have been, in some respects, obliterated if there are those who believe to have brought Ched Evans back, that the idea of a family club to employ somebody who has that against him, it would destroy that, wouldn't it?
I don't think so. I think families, as you know, are
there's a big difference between the black sheep of the family and being a convicted rapist.
But families don't throw people away. And, you know, we try very hard, and we tried in this case very hard to provide for a path to rehabilitation, not a path to employment necessarily. And heaven knows that if Ched had gone to train at our training ground, that any consideration that might be made about his potential return would have been subject to a very sensitive test of character, which would be administered by our coaching staff, who are notoriously concerned about the character of the young men on the side. So I would say, you know, are we a family club? You know, hell yeah, we're a family club. Do we have the types of difficulties and tough moments that families have? Yes, that's also true. And does our decision to promote the idea that footballers should be treated equally before the law, should we second guess that decision? No. I will say that I'm angry and disgusted at a number of things in this case. I'm angry that we're not able to get a chance to do for this footballer what should be done, simply because I have a view about the way all footballers should be treated. And you know, I'm upset that we are not going to be able to do what we wanted to do. But I acknowledge that my view is not the only view, and I further acknowledge that whereas, Andy, we made a principled statement that my principles, that our board's principles, are not the only things that matter, right? At the end of the day, we could be stubborn and press on, right? But think about it for a moment. The matter that's before us was going to last for as long as Ched Evans' attempt to clear his name was going to last. And I don't know how long that is, but I reckon it could be, you know, with the CCRC and an appellate hearing, it could take a long time.
It could. And if he is successful in that, would Sheffield United consider bringing him back?
Look, you have our statement. Our statement doesn't address that issue.
Why is that? Because that's the big question, and the fact that it's been left open has led people to think, well, you know, it's letting it lie until he's, till whatever's happened has happened, he's coming back.
Your question includes invites me to speculate at least on three different levels about, you know, whether he'll be able to clear his name, whether he'll want to return if he does clear his name, and whether will want or need his services at that time. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know where we're going to be as a club. I don't know enough things to answer that question. But the principle the principles that we are articulated are going to be true throughout. And, you know, I think nothing that we've done has an intention of foreclosing future possibilities, except that he will not train at our club. And we're not doing anything until, you know, on this issue, you know, for the time being, which you know, by which we specifically mean until we do get to a point when that question has been answered. And even then, I don't know what we're going to do. And I hope that at that time that we've moved on, that we've been promoted, and that we're considering, you know, a whole fresh set of issues. So, let me leave it there. I think we have foreclosed the possibility of doing anything while the question of the legal questions that remain to be answered, and that's, I think, as much as should be said at this time.